Hey, this is Zen Perry. Thanks for listening to the Zen Perry Project. I have a few requests of you before we get into the show. First is go to Zen Perry Project, Zenperry Project on Instagram. Give us a follow. Second is make sure you follow and turn on notifications for our episodes wherever you listen to the Zen Perry Project. And third is share the show with somebody. Maybe send them an episode they'd be interested in. Without further ado, here's the show. Thanks for listening.
Oh, I got it. Okay. How's that? Can you hear us better?
That is much better. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
All right. So yeah, the Mill Valley show went well. That's it. Yeah. No, any stories from it? Have you guys played there before?
No, that's this band. No,
no.
But, that was cool. I mean, what's a good story from yesterday?
The food was great.
Everybody, what did you guys have?
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
You know, we don't have too many stories because we woke up at like 5 or 6 in the morning to get from LA to Mill Valley. So by the time we got there, like everybody in the green room was asleep up until we played.
We do have a story. We took a nap.
Yeah, we took a nap. I have video.
Yeah. A nice band
now. So I went to bed at like 8:45 last night, so I'm coming in hot with the questions, and you guys
are
Christ. Yeah, just give me a second. Well, that's cool. Let's go around the room and y'all introduce yourselves.
I'm Brian. I play guitar in the band.
Okay.
I sing. What about that?
I'm Caitlin. I play the drums.
Adriana, I sing.
All right.
And Chris, I play bass.
All right. Well, welcome all of you. So are you guys all from LA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys grow up around each other?
No.
No.
No? What parts about, I lived in LA I went to music school at Musicians Institute back in the day. So right in Hollywood. Where'd you guys grow up around? Or I guess where are you from?
I grew up in a city called, I think we all grew up around each other, but we didn't know each other.
Yeah,
like the cities were kind of close, but I grew up in a city called Maywood. It's like southeast of Los Angeles.
Okay.
Downtown.
I grew up in North Hollywood.
Nice. Cool. Well, so I guess just generally around that area.
All around different parts of LA.
Yeah.
Well, that's rad. So you guys all met, basically you were all playing in different bands at the time in the similar sort of scene. What kind of like venues were you guys playing around LA when you met?
Dive bars. Yeah, there's this place called
the Redwood
in downtown. There's this other place that's no longer around. It's called the Five Star Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Is where a few of us met the first time. What are the other bars? La Cita is like a venue / bar. But we were literally playing like the bar scene.
Yeah. And yeah. So you guys just met at a show and then just decided to like jam, or I guess it met at shows randomly. Were you going to each other's shows? Was that kind of the deal?
Yeah, it was like we would always run across each other, like just playing different shows throughout LA. And then we first met up with Adriana and Joe, who's not here right now. But we met up with them. They joined the band, and then we met Chris and Caitlin through other bands too. And he knew Joe and Adriana
from the previous band we were in, and then we kind of just came together.
Yeah, well, there you go. So just a good amalgamation of all that stuff. So your guys' name is from the Alton Ellis. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and are you guys into rock steady? Is that, or all of you, or for the most part?
Yeah, I think all of us are into it. No.
No. it's not Carlos. I'm so sorry. I'm just coming. Remind me your name, bass player.
Chris.
Chris. Okay, thank you. You guys, how long have you played with the band?
Maybe like 2.5 years.
2.5 years?
Yeah, fairly.
Okay, so I think I definitely heard the interview with you, and you guys were talking about your musical influence, and you seem like more of the odd one out of the group, which is pretty rad.
Yeah, they're on.
I think you mentioned Opeth, and I was like, "Wait, what?"
Oh wait, no, that's Gabriel.
Ah, shit, I'm sorry.
That was the old one.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, you're still the musical anomaly. It seems like a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that show is pretty funny. Just you guys talking about that on that station.
What was that one?
Man, it was there was a Latin. I think it was a Latin station.
Latin with Byron.
Right.
Was it a performance, acoustic performance before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you guys ripped.
Thank you.
Guys, it sounded really, really good. Like Adriana, you on one of the songs, you just like went above and beyond like on the vocals. It was really cool to hear.
Yeah.
I just binge listened to all your stuff. Like we booked this interview yesterday, so I was like, oh shit, gotta do my research. Yeah. That's how I like to go. I like to go fast. So. Yeah, it's just how are you guys? Like how in general, how you guys have been kind of like touring around a little bit, you're kind of playing shows here and there. How are y'all feeling? Are you doing, how's your lives going?
Tired.
Tired, yeah. Tired is that word. Yeah, we did this whole month we did Colorado, we went out to like Milwaukee, Chicago, Nashville.
It's been a hell of a month for yeah. sure. It's been
yeah.
a while. Yeah.
And y'all have your lives and you're just like kind of trying to make this work.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's been are so you mostly all in the music like industry? For the most part, musicians have like three jobs to kind of keep themselves afloat.
Right.
Is that the truth? Are you guys, anybody like teach music here or anything? Yeah. Cool. I teach drums as well.
Nice.
That's pretty rad. That's what you got to do right now. So in general, let's talk about this. I want to get the clip. So you guys are playing Moe's Alley tonight, right?
Yes.
And that is this your first show there, or you guys been around?
No, it's our first time here actually.
In Santa Cruz?
Yeah, at least mine. The band's for sure.
The band's for sure. I've been here before.
The first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been here before as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how did you link up with that show?
We're doing it through Folkia. We've been working with Folkia.
Right.
Did like Huichica a couple weeks ago or in June.
June.
Yeah. I've been doing shows with them.
There you go. That's he's a, what's his name? Pierce? You remember?
Britt. We've been working
Britt.
With Britt.
Oh, Britt. Yeah.
Britt. That was it. Yeah, he does some really cool stuff. Speaking of which, when I mentioned on Instagram that I was interviewing you guys, my friend's band is Harry and the Hitmen. They're also an amazing like soul act. And they play shows around here all the time. They play Big Sur and they really want to play with you guys, which I think would go off.
Oh, sweet.
So yeah, I think you guys are welcome back here. And let's talk about Ryan, Paradise Garage. You guys have a super busy day too.
Yeah, we do. He's
first
been
off this,
yeah.
And then right after this, you're gonna record.
That we are. Yeah, he's been real cool. We got to meet him in the morning. We got in here real late, so he was nice enough to leave the trailer open.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of just came in here hoping we didn't come into the wrong trailer. Wake up in like somebody else's house.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a sweet dude. He's got his three kids.
Yeah,
I've played the garage. He's an insane engineer as well, so I can't wait to hear what he does with your guys' stuff. Do you guys have sort of a set list? Am I allowed to hear it? Am I allowed to hear what songs you're going to play, or are you kind of a last-minute sort of thought?
Yeah, last-minute. Definitely last-minute.
Yeah, we're going to figure it out when we get there. Well, we're here, but I mean, like, when we do it.
When we go into the garage. Yeah. They haven't seen... I just saw the garage. I went in there, and I started thinking of set list.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's pretty it's pretty small, but they've had like six people playing in there, not to mention Ryan and the camera guy. Wow. So
yeah, I was just telling him that like I went in there, I was like, hey, it looks so much bigger in the videos. So you go right. It's tiny.
Yeah, it's that wide angle.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard it yet, ask Ryan to show you his, because he's an amazing musician himself. He's a really, really good singer.
Is that the one you're doing drums on?
Yeah. And that was shameless self-promotion as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't seen it yet, but he did mention that right before.
Yeah, we definitely want to
We were talking
it
about it, or he was telling us, he mentioned you. He's like, yeah, I know him.
Yeah, it's funny. My house is like right next to his.
Oh,
yeah. You and the
no, I'm in the trailer next door.
All these trailers in Santa Cruz.
Yeah. So I guess what if let's just talk about some of your friends. Who are you playing with at Moe's Alley tonight?
We are playing with a musician called Flaco Alejandro.
Yeah.
He plays in another band. I can't think of his band name. 1 second while I check Instagram.
Oh, you're all good. You know, if it's a solo actor, is he playing with like a full band?
He's playing with a full band.
Okay, cool.
People should get there early to try to catch him. It's always cool to catch the openers.
Nice. Yeah, well, after your Paradise Garage video.
Yeah.
So, it was just like whenever you can get there, right?
Yeah, right.
So, kind of what I was listening to.
Quien sabe. It's called Quien sabe. That's his
name. Quien sabe?
Quien sabe, yeah. They just played with Tropa Magica last week.
Oh, very cool.
Nice. Yeah. I would definitely struggle to pronounce quite as well as you, but you guys speak beautifully, and honestly, like from what I've heard in the interviews, you guys are such nice people and down to earth. So let's talk about why, because you guys were all in bands before, and would you guys say this is probably one of the most successful projects you've been in general?
Well, it's going. I mean, I feel we put like a lot of work into it and stuff.
Yeah, so why this band? Just out of curiosity. Like, why do you think this one has taken off a little bit more? Why was this one something that you wanted to put more work into?
Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like when you're with a group and everybody's putting in the same effort, you feel it moving forward. It helps, like, with the momentum, and it helps with the feel of it. And I know you probably feel this too, but, like, as musicians, it's kind of tough, especially because we're, like, procrastinators and like also like in three other things. Everybody's trying to do three other things, but if you I mean three other bands or whatever, but like if you like all put in the same effort, it helps you feel more grounded and want to do it.
Yeah, it's so hard to get, you know, not even just in bands, it's so hard to get people in on the same page. So yeah. why do you guys think you work so well together in that sense?
Right.
I think we're fortunate enough to, it's not just this band, that we're fortunate enough to have a collective of musicians that are really trying to do, you know, just make something happen with music. So it's just like we have this band, you know, it's like the Sinceres, like a bunch of bands that we all like collectively play with and kind of help each other out. And it's like it's been cool to see not just this band, but like all the bands around us that kind of like getting a big push, you know?
Yeah, just kind of gaining that kind of all working together. I think that's when things work the best, is when you have a good scene. So you guys got lucky in the sense of y'all found, I mean, personally, it's just, it seems like kind of a niche group, or, you know, to be in soul. And I can't say I really ever found like a soul, alternative indie scene in LA. It doesn't mean, I mean, obviously it exists, but, yeah, I just being in the right place at the right time. Do you think that was definitely just, did you guys parents for the most part, or like your influences, were they all kind of listening to soul and music like this? Is that?
Definitely. Yeah.
Definitely. And do you think that was like the area that you're from specifically, or I'm trying to understand like how you guys all came to be in soul. And
it's a cultural thing. I think it's definitely like music that we listened to growing up. Hearing from your parents and like certain radio stations that are big over there, and
ooh, like what do you know?
Yeah, like Art LeBeau was a big one, and he would be on in afternoons, and they would do like dedications, and it would be like a bunch of oldies and love songs, and it's like you can't help but let that get under your skin. Like it's big over there in LA.
Yeah. And it's it's all very positive music, mm-hmm. And you guys kind of embody that as well. It seems so. What do you try to like have people take away from your shows? What do you want people to take away from your shows, if anything?
To have fun.
Have fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Having fun, or yeah.
Being in love, being you know, feeling the human emotions, the good ones.
The good ones. Yeah.
I think you're gonna love Moe's Alley. This is definitely the spot for you guys. I think Britt booked it perfectly, because people even if they have no idea what the bands are, if they see like, you know, soul, alternative indie, some sort of like dance party or some sort of thing people can get into that's a little bit more interesting, I guess, like softer, more moody, something you can kind of slow dance to, people are gonna love it. So I'm excited. I know Ryan's excited as well. So he's like, he texted me, he's like, I got a babysitter. He's like,
Is it 21 and over? It's 21 and over, huh?
I think so.
Yeah. Is Moselle 21 and over?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you have a bunch of under 21 people that are coming? Or we're trying to come?
I was just going to tell them just to bring the kids.
Oh, right. Yeah, no. But you could do that at the Crepe Place. There's other, I used to work there, and yeah, has crazy shows, and a bunch of like really big acts have come through there. Like Norah Jones played there, Father John Misty, Lumineers, like a bunch of people is on their way up. So it's got, it has that feeling, and it's owned by the bass player in Good Riddance, which is a punk band, if you guys know that. So it's very much about the music, and they're all ages. So yeah, it's a good little dance scene as well. What do you guys consider like your strengths as artists working together? Do you guys just jam a lot? Like, how often do you play together?
A lot, I think. Strengths, I would say, I don't know. I think our strengths is that we've been doing it for such a long time that everybody in the band, like...
You know how to read each other.
Yeah, we know how to read each other. It's like, everybody's real good at their craft. And, like, everybody's good at kind of changing or doing stuff on the fly.
Yeah, so kind of improvisational... to an extent, and then you kind of create the songs from there. Was that, would you say that's kind of your process, or what is your process?
I think we have we write like melodies, and we have like ideas, and we present it to the band. Like we've been working it out in the studio and kind of just going through, you know, just seeing what works and what fits the best, like what present the song and then like put the music behind it.
Okay. So do you usually, so when you say like kind of bringing melodies, so you said maybe back in the past, but so do you usually like kind of bring the melodies from doing stuff by yourself first and bring that to the band, or are you kind of all in the studio and just messing around? Like, what is it?
I think it's more doing it like by ourselves. Like we work out a melody, so I get together with Adriana, we work out like this melody and lyrics, and then we get into the studio and we work out the music with the rest of the band.
Yeah, there you go. I think everybody kind of works differently from who I've talked to. It's like sometimes it's like there's some people who are like, we have to make everything absolutely together, and then sometimes there's always like one person. But it seems like you and Adriana like work really, really well together, and you kind of bringing that to life. So that kind of the artistic community you were talking about. In LA. So what have you guys toured with anybody else? Are there kind of, what are your sort of best friends or bands that you love to play with most right now?
Oh, the Sinceres is one of them.
Sinceres. Were any of you guys in the Sinceres?
Yes.
All of them except me.
Oh, yeah. They don't, you couldn't get that drum gig.
It was already established. Yeah. It was already
established. That's cute. That's so, you guys. So is there a band, is there another band that plays it, or is it you guys have to be in it when the Sinceres play, or do you play with them? Does that make sense?
Well, we play it. Well, we play with them. I don't know.
Together we play or it. Separately.
Yeah.
Okay. How many people are in the band total?
Sinceres?
Yeah.
Nine.
Okay. Yeah. So that makes sense.
It's a bigger band. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. We try to coordinate it where we either book shows together or book shows around each other.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's hard to get nine people in a van.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to get nine people in a room.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a big band for sure.
Yeah, it helps out that a lot of us are in both bands, because then we can coordinate and,
yeah,
you know, our schedules.
Logistically, it just makes the most sense. Like,
yeah.
If you're going to do a two-band bill, which everybody seems to want. How many albums do you guys have out, or EPs, or is it one? Yep.
An album.
An album? Are you guys working on anything at the moment? You guys have some new songs that you're mixing into this set, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're working on songs. We got a couple of sessions coming up, like recording sessions. So we're working towards an album. Mm-hmm.
Where are you guys recording?
At Penrose.
Okay. Where is that?
It's in Riverside.
All right.
California.
And I guess how have did you record the last album there?
No, we recorded the first album we put out. We recorded with our friend Joel. His name's Joel Jerome. He's in Echo Park. He's got his own studio and it's like his garage.
In Echo Park?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Echo Park? No. Highland Park. Eagle Rock. Yeah, Eagle Rock.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a lot of garages in Echo Park. I was like, damn, that's cool.
Eagle Rock, yeah.
Did he kind of produce it? Was he just like a homie? Like what? How did that come about?
Yeah, he was... We played, he was another musician that's playing around in like the LA scene. And he was really big on, well, my thing was he's real big on the Beatles. And he had a bunch of, that was a guy we knew that had a lot of like old school recording stuff. So we recorded an EP before that with him. And then we decided to go back with him to do the album. This was like 4 years ago, almost 3-4 years ago. Yeah, 4 or 5 years ago. So, yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, and it just worked out really, really well. Was that kind of when you guys knew that this band was going to be something you're really interested in doing? Or was what by that point were you already just like, this is the one. This is the one we're going to go mostly into.
I think that whole album was kind of like our live set for a while. So, it was like, we were playing around town, and then it's like we need to go into the studio and just kind of record it and put it out. We had been going pretty hard, maybe too much, playing too much.
Yeah, and definitely.
You mean too much like in that area or just?
Yeah, it's like we would play like every weekend.
Yeah, it's good. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
Working out the songs and all that. And then we just kind of wanted to record it.
Yeah, there's always that fine line. So what do you... Because yeah, in my band, I'm there's that fine line of like, do you play like once a month in the area, try to get as many people as you can to that one show, or do you play more? Do you just play every single time somebody wants to book you? What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Definitely during that time, we played every single time somebody wanted to book us, and it was just like it was just there was no strategy to it really. It was just wherever they hit us up, we would go and play. And it helped out with like crafting the music because we got to see like firsthand what songs would work, like what parts would work, or would change them. Like we'd go back and rehearse and then change some of the stuff, and then we'd play it live. And then we were able like to kind of test out the songs and work them out as we played. I think now we're being a little more strategic with it. We're starting to learn a little more of how to play different markets and how to kind of like have a strategy to it.
What's your strategy now?
Play wherever they call us.
Not saturate.
Yeah, not saturate the market. Like just play here and there.
Not like, play an area too much. So like planning months ahead and being like, okay, well, we're gonna plan this show in LA like later in the year. So then you get the people that actually want to come. Because if then you can't play in LA same month, like it's like them both like people won't buy tickets to a certain show. Like we're gonna play there like the next month. Like we just have to be smart about it. Now we're actually putting thought into the shows and like the planning of the shows.
Yeah.
When before we would just do any show just because we wanted to get out there and play.
Yeah, I think I try to give like value to any musicians or artists listening. So it almost sounds like playing that often back when you were starting and crafting the songs was maybe a good move.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Just to get out there, get the name out there.
Yeah,
so I think, as you start getting bigger. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, yeah. Yeah, I think doing that at the beginning is to get the band tight, because you can tell when a band is like playing often and playing, as opposed to like when you hire some people and you know you rehearse one day or 2 days before. and then you go on play, you can definitely tell the difference when the band is actually like doing it together for a long time.
Yeah, the feel of it.
When did you start gaining any sort of how long was it until you started gaining any sort of success? Was it kind of off your previous bands that you just like kind of jumped ship with those fans, or were you starting to gain like a whole new audience?
I think we started to gain a whole new audience with this band. I think it really started happening during the pandemic.
Really?
We put out, yeah, like we had a following in Los Angeles. We're doing pretty good on our own, but when the pandemic hit, we put out a record with Penrose, and it was like 2 weeks before everything shut down. We had a tour set up, and everything kind of just fell apart, and everything kind of shut down. And then I guess people were really listening to the music while everything was shut down.
Yeah, people were at home, like, and they were ready to consume any sort of like new media. And then the music came out, and like, which is not what we thought was going to happen. Like, we're like, oh, crap, everything fell apart, you know, like everybody pressed pause and stopped, but people were at home wanting to chill, and they were listening, and they were like getting ready for when things opened up. We were like at shows, like we were shocked, like playing shows and people singing the songs back to us. And we're like, oh, wow. It like resonated with people during quarantine and during the shutdown. And it was a good thing. It was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Did you guys do like the live, like a live thing, like streaming or anything like that during that time?
Yeah, a couple times. Yeah.
Do you guys live together?
No.
God, no.
Like, this is enough right here.
Yeah,
that's cool. I mean, it makes sense. Like, I don't know if you guys know, like, Mark Ribier, he's the guy who like does all the YouTube streaming, where he's like the DJ dude.
Oh, but yeah.
People were watching him during the pandemic a lot because he seemed to be like, it wasn't dark. It was something you could just like laugh at. And with your guys' music, it's positive. It's something to just like hang out. Maybe people are just, you know, need to smoke some weed at home because there's not a lot else to do. Doing that rock steady thing. And so cool. And you started gaining traction. What were people kind of saying at the time when that album came out during the pandemic?
Well, actually, the album came out a couple years before. The record, we put out like a 45.
Oh.
It was like singles.
Gotcha.
Song.
Yeah. And people started listening to that, it kind of started like trickling over to like the album that we had put out the year before.
What were people saying at the time?
I don't know. We didn't really get to hear anybody's thoughts until we started playing shows, really.
How did you know that it was starting to go well? How do you guys know that, I guess, you were gaining any market?
Spotify demographic.
All right.
We're killing it in the 24 to 35 age range.
Male or female? Or was it like
51% male, 49% female.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys have quite a huge like Instagram following as well. So I just assume people were just like, yeah, you're the shit, which I think so. And, you know, you're getting all these great gigs. So there you go. So I guess I like to ask everybody this question because it can either, I don't know, it makes people think a little bit, like, what is, I guess, even individually with each of you, like, what is your idea of success? What would you like to happen in your life? Band, life, anything?
For it to be a sustainable job, I think, or like a source of income.
Win the lottery.
Yeah. I mean, we've missed out on winning the lottery.
Damn.
Yeah. It was either that or
stick with the band.
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, I think to make music that's like timeless and that people can listen to now and in the future, and it's still going to be relevant. I mean, that's great. Yeah.
It's a good one.
I love that answer. As a drummer, like, what are your influences? How did you get into this specifically?
I grew up, I had a teacher who was a jazz drummer, and he showed me a lot of jazz music and as well as, you know, funk music. So he exposed me to drummers like Jimmy Cobb, you know, that played on So What, Miles Davis, and Papa Joe Jones, Elvin Jones. Max Roach is always like one of my favorite drummers, Art Blakey, and a lot of the old funk drummers, like, you know, Clyde Stubblefield and even David Garibaldi from Tower of Power. Like, I was exposed to that at a young age and was just kind of absorbing all of that. So that's like a big influence. And then I got into playing a lot of percussion, like congas and stuff like that, and got into those rhythms, a lot of Cuban music. So that's a big influence on me as well.
Yeah, a lot of Cuban music as well. I had a teacher at Musicians Institute. He got me into so much Cuban music, and he was on fire with all those beats, because like doing the left foot clave with a cowbell and, you know, doing all these things at once, and you're basically a whole like drumming percussion line at the same time. Yeah, I love Art Blakey. And then I think you mentioned in one of the interviews I listened to, you're like Brian Blade. I'm a huge fan of Mark Juliana and all of his stuff with like just everything that he's doing when he did David Bowie's record, and he's just such an incredible jazz guy. But yeah, cool. And I loved your answer about making timeless music, which I would say your guys' music is pretty timeless, but you do have a new take on soul that it makes it seem very much like it's in this decade as well. And where do you think that sort of comes from? What newer influences do you think incorporate into your music, or individually or as a group?
Yeah, I mean, I like experimental stuff, you know, electronic sounds and all kinds of different sounds, as well as those more traditional sounds. And I think other people in the band as well.
Yeah, I think how we said, like, Chris likes different types of music. I feel like we don't all just like rock steady. We like a bunch of genres. So like everybody brings a little bit of their influences to the table. So it's cool. I think that's why it might give it like a new feel. And it's like we're making soul music now, and we're just like sprinkling in a bunch of different genres into it just because we dig it. And like, why not? Like, it's fun.
Yeah. And I can definitely, like, you're into Alabama Shakes, right?
That's a big one for me, for sure. I can
definitely hear that not only in your voice, but I think in the production value, where it's like still clean, like clean tones going in, but it just has this like the texture of like that makes it sound so classic at the same time. So it's cool you found that mix. Are any of you kind of into recording in general, like solo, or was that something that you guys were doing or messing around with?
I'm into recording for sure. Yeah, I grew up doing that, like just in my house. I'd have all the like the local bands come in. I had like a little 8-track like cassette machine. I had like a microphone.
So I was definitely. Would you just do guitar on your voice, or what would you do?
I was just guitar, really. I didn't start singing until this band started.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like actually singing was when this band started. I was just, I'm mostly a guitar player, but most of my time I spent just like, I do like guitar. I play drums like just here and there, like, but I would just sit in my room and just kind of record stuff or have bands come over. So I've always really been into like the engineering side of it too.
Dude,
so
I'm sorry, but you just said that this is like your first real band singing. That kind of blows my mind, because you sound like Sam Cooke and like all these like really classic people that I feel like it's so hard to train your voice like that. That just blows my mind. Did you want to do that? I mean, you're an insane guitarist, but like, did you want to get into singing, or is it just something that had to come up necessarily, or was it something you were doing in Adriana that was like?
No, it actually came like I was playing in a band before this, and I was just playing guitar, and that band kind of just fell apart, and like wanted to keep doing it. So when we started this band with the old members, it's like we didn't have anybody to sing, so it's just like, I guess I'll do it for now until we find somebody.
And there you are, it worked.
Yeah,
did like the Jimi Hendrix thing or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're into the Beatles, kind of, I guess, who else are your sort of influences at the moment?
At the moment, the Beatles, for sure. What am I listening to?
What did you guys listen to on the way here at whatever, 1 a.m.?
Beyonce.
Death metal.
It was death metal.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You got to stay awake.
Exactly. And just, yeah, those hyped up beats and everything.
You need a little bit of that.
That's
sure.
Another example of just being influenced by everything. It's like you can find value in every kind of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you guys listen to the new album?
What album?
Beyonce.
Oh, Beyonce?
Hell yeah.
She was listening to it on the way up.
I had headphones on.
I haven't heard it yet. Is it good?
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah?
It's just, she just wanted to make an album to make people shake their ass, and that's exactly what it did. It's very dancey. It's very fun.
All right. I love that she's getting, like, more and more dancey as she gets older.
Yeah, it's like she's kind of going into, like, disco with this one. Like, disco, right. Making it up and making it modern. So it's very cool. I mean, it's Beyonce. I was like, I got to listen.
Yeah, in that sort of realm, I'm really, really into Anderson .Paak. I mean, obviously as a drummer, but he has such, like, soulful stuff. At the same time, he can get, like, super crazy with his rap.
Like, his Malibu album's great.
Like, it's so good.
So good. I got to see him at Flea's Music Conservatory in LA, and he was one of the bands that was playing. So, like, the Red Hot Chili Peppers usually play, and then they bring someone else, and they brought Anderson. And he played that whole album. It was amazing. It was like in a parking lot in Silver Lake.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I didn't know he had a conservatory. Like,
for music, it's cool.
But they just played in the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah. They, like, make it look like a gala, but it's in a parking lot, and it's cool.
That's what I miss about LA the most was.
It's very, like, LA. As I said it, I realized that's a very LA answer for sure.
I mean, it's so cool though. Like, I used to, be right next to the Jimmy Kimmel show, and they do all that outside. So I would just, like, go try to get in with the paparazzi, just, like, kind of weasel my way in if I was trying to catch a show.
Yeah. The one iota one, right? Like, when you would get the tickets and you would see them in the...
Yeah. Yeah, I think I did, like, I went to the Conan O'Brien thing. Yeah, whatever. LA shit.
We all did, man.
Oh, you're Conan.
Do you guys like living in LA? Is this something that you guys are just going to... Any plans outside of that? Or just do you love the scene and your people and community around there?
I love LA. Yeah. I might stay in LA. It's like you get a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Snowmass is pretty cool. You just went to Aspen.
Colorado's
beautiful.
I had no idea. I was like, damn, I love it here.
We liked it a lot. But
then, what was the weather like when you went?
Nice.
It's nice.
Clear, crisp.
Yeah. It would rain for like 2 minutes and then it was beautiful.
Yeah. Clean air. We were like, what? No smog? Yeah. It was definitely
Yeah. Speaking of smog, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about LA. This guy is like a little brown sometimes, but
just a smidge.
Yeah.
I love it. My buddy's out. My favorite bass player I love to play with. He moved out to LA, and I was like, "Damn you!" And it also just makes so much sense. So I get to crash on his couch, and he's doing really, really well out there. Better than I ever did out there.
What's his name?
Zach Latham. Yeah, he just moved out there. He's actually like, he's like 7 years younger than I am, but he's just such a down to earth sort of dude, and he rips on the bass.
Oh,
yeah.
What band is he playing with?
Oh, I think he's just playing in a bunch of like jazz stuff. So I'm not sure exactly what, but I'll tell him about this interview and stuff and. He'll check you guys out. He'll definitely love you guys. So
yeah, if you're listening to this, Zach, do you know an Eric Johnson?
He's our jazz guy.
He's our jazz guy. Yes. Yeah,
that's funny. Everybody has their jazz friend. Like, mm-hmm. Like in the current band I'm in, which is very like rock and roll. We were still kind of deciding between bass players, but we had like one of our jazz bass players come in and play on this song for the record, and it sounds incredible. It was kind of like more of a bossa nova-esque song, but he was just playing amazingly over top of that. And then we got like kind of our more like kind of rock and roll bassist, and he's been trying to play along to it. He's like, I have no fucking idea. Like, I don't, it sounds amazing, but I can't do it. Like, so everybody's got their jazz guys, but yeah, I'll link you guys up with him if you happen to know it. I'm sure he would love some bass gigs if you happen to know anybody that's looking for a bass player. He's the best.
Yeah, look it up for sure.
He was my first podcast guest. I had to get some of my friends on first. That's for sure. All right, guys. Well, I think we're getting near the end here. So let's talk one more thing. So you got your Moe's show tonight, and yeah, you're in Santa Cruz. Tickets are how much? What, 15, 20, maybe I think they're 20.
20.
Yeah, I am just like, testing you guys so much. Yeah. Moe's Alley tonight, tickets $20 ish each. And yeah, we're with the Altons. This is a Breaking North podcast, and thanks for being on. You guys got any final thoughts, any things you want to shout out, any places that you're playing next?
We're actually laying low now to try to record and stuff, but thank you for all the thoughtful questions, and we're excited to play tonight, and hopefully people make it out, and yeah.
Well, hell yeah, can't wait to hear your next recordings. Okay. Well, thank you so much, and I will I'll be in touch with you guys. I'll see you tonight.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
Bye. Francisco Flowers. Is he watching?
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Zen Prayer Project. Make sure to follow the Zen Prayer Project on Instagram. Leave us a review for any of the episodes that you liked, and consider sharing this with a friend that might be interested in this sort of show. We'll see you next time.